This is the IPSC-SDA Media Network.
I'm happy to be here today. COVID has taught me to not take life for granted. I've lost enough people along the way. Close associates who are no longer here. So every day has got to be a day of thanksgiving. So let's forget about ourselves and worship God today. Our message today is pretty straightforward and simple. It is captured coincidental restoration. It's in the form of a question. Coincidental restoration. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever wonder about some of the things that happened to you in life? Were they just coincidental? Do things just happen? And I want to provoke some of you today. Is there like a divine order? Whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. Like, you forget your cell phone at home. You turn around, you go back home, and when you resume your journey, you drive past an accident scene with fatalities that happened at exactly the same time had you not turned back to retrieve your cell phone. So, do things just happen? Our message today appears to be filled with coincidental events. You probably read this story over and over and time again. When we were kids, we used to sing this song about Zacchaeus being a wee little man. Cheryl, I can't sing like you, but if I could, I would have sing that song, that song, but I can't. This story, by the way, wouldn't make for good TV. It's just boring. It wouldn't win an Emmy, not an Oscar, certainly not a Tony. In fact, the only gospel writer, Sister Wright, who wrote about this story is Luke. And he dedicated only 9 verses to this inconspicuous saga. Jennifer, thanks for reading the scripture reading. I'm going to read it again in the New Living Translation. And I want you to listen to each word. Is this just a boring story in the Bible, young people? Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. It was a small town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. And he had become very rich. He wasn't born rich. He had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. Luke is painting a graphic picture of a story that you thought before was a boring story. When Jesus came by, he looked up. Some versions say, when Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and called him by name, Zacchaeus. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. That's another sermon. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. That's another sermon. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Lord, have mercy. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Here's the message in capsule form. At first blush and on a superficial level, this is what it looks like. It's about a short guy in stature who lived in a very small city similar to Ipsy. It was about 1 square mile. I've been to Jericho. Jericho is not a large place. Just over 3,000 people. And this guy spent his life ripping his friends and family members off. And then Jesus saw and went to his house. That is the story. Or is it? Let me set this up for you. And you can determine if there are lessons here that you can learn from what I call coincidental restoration. Our Father and our God, this is the hour, this is the time. Help us to forget about ourselves and let you lead and direct our thoughts, our emotion, and our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me put this story in context. Let me see if I can paint a picture for you. Jesus was having a stressful week. You know, one of those weeks where nothing went right? It was so stressful at times, he was sweating blood. It was the final week of his life. And as he walked toward Jericho, I imagine he was preoccupied with events that were about to unfold. This was not a good week for Jesus. Have you ever had one of those weeks where sheer hell broke loose, your brakes give out, you need 4 new tires, $100 a piece, your account is overdrawn, someone gets into your online account and withdraws money, or they're laying people off at your job? This was the kind of week that Jesus was having. And then suddenly, Zacchaeus leaps into Jesus' consciousness. Who was this guy? Let me ask you a question before I answer the question. How do you feel about people who rip you off? People who deliberately rob you. That doesn't fit the description of Zacchaeus. That fits the description of the people who worked under Zacchaeus. He was actually worse than that, the most despicable of human beings. He developed the policies for ripping people off. What made the situation worse was that Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham. He knew better. People were so disgusted with Zacchaeus that when they walked past him, they just spat in disgust. When you get a chance, research Zacchaeus in the Bible. When they couldn't pay the bogus taxes that he came up with, he will repossess their homes and sell their homes to the highest bidder and just kept going. Zacchaeus was the kind of person, Quan, if you had a lawnmower or grass cutting business and you only paid $740 in taxes, wink, wink, Zacchaeus will take another look at your tax returns. And he will come to the conclusion that you have got to be kidding me. And then he will quadruple the amount owed. And if you couldn't pay, he will take your business and sell your business. This was the type of person that Zacchaeus was. He was powerful. He was influential. He could do great harm to you. When he said jump, the only question you want to ask was, how high should I jump? But despite his riches, there was a contradiction in his life that he could not surmount. Luke said he was short in stature, about 5 feet. But that's not a contradiction. Despite his great wealth, Zacchaeus kept coming up short. Not in stature. There was a yearning in the pit of his stomach that his money couldn't satisfy. He kept coming up short. I don't know if you have ever come up short. You tried your way. You tried righteousness by works, but you keep coming up short. You try fixing your stuff, but you keep coming up short. Short on grace and short on peace, and you will cry yourself to sleep because there is a yearning inside of you that your stuff couldn't fix. This was Zacchaeus' predicament. I realize that if I plan my life around material or temporary things, I will always come up short. If I put my hopes in my stuff and in my job and in my bank account and in my friends and in my associates, I will come up short. If anything, COVID 19 has taught us is that our precious blings are really nothing. When you are gasping for breath, the last thing you think about is your material possessions. Zacchaeus found out the hard way that his material possession can only take him so far. There is a greater void he realized that money couldn't fill. He spent his days coming up short. You know, I met a guy a few years ago who kept coming up short. I introduced him to you, and I had the chance to do a Zoom call with him just last night. And if you were absent when he came here, I just want to refresh your memory of someone who also came up short. And then I will resume, Zacchaeus.
So, Charles, good evening. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it is really good to see you. It's been a little while, and what I'm doing is just circling back and checking in with you. The last time we met probably was maybe 2 years ago. This was before COVID, right?
Right.
So for those who don't know you and who've never heard your story whatsoever, maybe in 6 seconds or less, tell us a little about yourself, your upbringing, and what happened. You don't have to go into all type of details.
17 years old, I got arrested for the murder of a Detroit off-duty police officer. I was ultimately convicted. It was a crime that I didn't commit. And I served 43 years in prison for that crime. And by the grace of God, I was released.
Amazing, amazing. And then I know that you attended Ipsy Church. We got a chance to meet you, and then you left for Atlanta.
Right.
Now, the stats say that when someone is incarcerated, there is a four to six times likelihood that they're going to end up back being incarcerated, whether because of lack of support, you know, maybe it's because they felt comfortable in that environment. You know, there's so many reasons and variables. But that's what the stats say, that that person is more than likely to be incarcerated again. However, that is not the case with you. So fill us in, since you left and moved to Atlanta.
Well, since I've been to Atlanta, I've been working, you know, warehouse jobs.
We can pause there. Thank you. Healthy
work ethic. And
we will hear the rest of the story later. I just wanted to refresh your mind on another guy like Zacchaeus who came up short. Let's press pause. Let's go back to Zacchaeus. One day he heard that Jesus was passing through. Zacchaeus knew that this was his only opportunity to break that cycle of coming up short. Follow me carefully. This was his opportunity. He refused to accept his current situation and made a decision to throw himself in the path of Jesus. Remember we said when I started that this story was sort of like boring, kind of like, you know, okay, 9 verses, Luke, yeah, Zacchaeus. But listen to this. Rich man with his stuff decided, I can't live this way anymore because I heard that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing through, and I'm just going to put myself in the path of Jesus. There's a lesson here for us. Some of us have been born with a lot of baggage, grew up with a lot of stuff. We've been told, you're going to remain in this situation for a long time. Your granddaddy was an alcoholic. Your grandmother was an alcoholic. Your parents were alcoholic. You will never amount to anything much. They have been a loser. you will be a loser. Follow me carefully. Zacchaeus made a conscious decision to throw himself in the path of Jesus. He had no idea how this was going to work out. Kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. She had no idea how this was going to work out. But she felt, if I can only like touch his garment, the 10 lepers, they said, we don't know what's going to happen to us. But we just want to throw ourselves in the path of Jesus. Zacchaeus decided, I'm just going to try this thing. When you read those verses again, you realize that he had tried before to see Jesus, but he was too short. He decided to stop focusing on the crowd and what people were saying, and he decided, come hell or high water, I am coming out of my situation. No one, nobody, no crowd, no short stature will stop me today. Is it still a boring story? Now, listen how ridiculous, Cheryl, this decision was. Listen how ridiculous it was. He decided he is going to run down a dirt road. He is going to climb a tree. And Jesus wasn't even there as yet. You know how stupid you will look climbing a tree? I mean, it's funny, isn't it? It's comical. Grown men don't climb trees, okay? I bought a shed. It's in my yard, and there's a tall tree with branches that are falling on the shed. And I made a decision. I need to get the branches away before they fall on the tree. Quan, there's nothing that will motivate me to climb a tree. Okay? Imagine how foolish this looked. This guy was rich, very rich, powerful, influential. He could have ordered his security detail to move people away because that's what rich people do, right? We just get our security detail, wink, wink, to move them away because you want to make a statement. That's what rich people do. Zacchaeus was a different person, rough on the exterior, but on the inside, he needed something better. And he decided, even if it means me looking stupid, I'm going to do it. Whatever your situation, do not allow anyone to determine your destiny. If I had believed my GRE scores, I would never have entered graduate school. If I believed in my financial situation, I would never have uprooted myself from where I was to take the next step. Is this story still boring? For those of us who are still sitting in our stuff and making up all kinds of excuses. I am this way because of. It's because of my parents. It's because of the government. It's because of the hypocrites at Ipsy Church. It's because they looked at me the wrong way. It's because they're talking that I got a child out of a wedlock. It's because I'm divorced. It's because. When you want something bad enough, you can't allow people to deter you. Your circumstance, your deficit should not deter you, no matter the challenge. All you need to do is try and get in the path of Jesus. Follow me carefully. Large crowd, short guy who kept coming up short, ran and climbed a sycamore tree. It's easy to conclude that Jesus just happened to be passing by. It's easy to conclude that that tree just happened to be there. These things were coincidental, right? How did Jesus know that this guy was going to be in that tree? How did Jesus even know his name? Was this casual coincidence? Well, let me jolt your memory a little. I'm glad that you asked. Remember when thousands of people were pressing around him and the woman with the issue of blood yanked at his garment and his disciples said, "Come on, man. Come on. You're talking with someone touching you?" And Jesus said, "I know when virtue has gone out of me." He said, "I feel virtue." The psalmist David says, "He knows the number of hairs on your head." Sometimes God orchestrates events and he puts people in your path that you couldn't orchestrate yourself. Here's my second observation. What is the purpose of your planting? That's a weird question, isn't it? What does that have to do with this story? Well, Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree. Do you know that it takes between 50 to 200 years for a sycamore tree to mature? I've lost you. I know I've lost you. When the person who planted that sycamore tree, you're getting it now, 200 years ago, they had no idea that God was going to bloom and mature this tree and use this tree to elevate a guy who kept coming up short. I don't think you guys are listening to me. Before he was born, God planted that tree for Zacchaeus. And if you think I'm crazy, before the foundation of this world began, God had a plan of salvation in place for the emergency of sin. This was not coincidental that that tree was there. So let me ask you the question again. What if God has planted you a sycamore tree to elevate someone? What if someone is running down a dirt road in desperation to get in the path of Jesus, and you are the only sycamore tree that they can climb? Why are you working where you are working? Why are you living where you're living? Is that just coincidental? What if God has orchestrated events and God is depending on you to restore someone to life? Is this still a boring story? Why are you planted where you are planted? Why are you here today? I believe that even when you can't see him, God is working situations and plans, and he's hoping that you can fulfill your part of the equation for people who are coming up short. I believe nothing catches God by surprise. You know, when Disney World, and I've said this before, was about to be unveiled, the reporter said to Frank Disney, the brother of Walt, Walt had already died. So they said to Frank, "It's a pity that Walt isn't here to see all of this." And Frank said, "Walt saw this." Jesus saw you as a sycamore tree way before you saw yourself. Jesus plants us in places that we could not even imagine. And I ask myself the same question: how many opportunities have I missed? How many harsh words have I said to people that have turned them away, and I was not a good sycamore tree? Is this still a boring story? Jesus came to the spot, and Jesus looked up, and he saw him perched in the sycamore tree. If Jesus comes to your spot and looks up, who is perched in your sycamore tree? My topic is coincidental restoration. Was this really a coincidence that these two people collided? I asked myself the same question. I introduce you to Charles. I could not have orchestrated that man's life even if I had tried. I did not put myself in his path. God placed me in his path, not just because of him. My topic is coincidental restoration on the day of his trial. When I testified, I didn't know another attorney was sitting in the courtroom. And the attorney came to me afterwards and said, "Do you know there are more than 200 juvenile lifers? These are children in the state of Michigan who have been sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, rotting in prison." And the attorney said to me, "Because of the work that you did with him, may I refer you to some additional juvenile lifers, and maybe you can help them." A lady was supposed to be here today, but her attorney advised her not, because her two sons are due to be released shortly. I happen to be the expert witness on the trial to get the judge to commute life without parole to time served. What if I had not been a sycamore tree? What if that did not happen? What if I didn't work for Charles? I want you to hear the rest of his story. Coincidental restoration. Let's go, Trevor.
There. But, you know, I hold my own. Like today, you know, I put up over 1,000 tires, you know. So, you know, I work. I live with a beautiful family. They support me, you know, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, financially, you know, however they, you know, can assist me. So they're there for me. And my mother's out here, and my sister's out here, and they have been a great support as well, you know. So, you know, I think for me, the key to success has been having a village around me, you know, because I hear from you all the time, you know, you always inquire about how I'm doing. Jessica, she inquires about how I'm doing, you know. So there are a lot of people, you know, that stay in contact with me, and that has been very helpful. So it takes a village.
What does it feel like to be out, free, and being a productive citizen? What is that feeling like?
It feels natural. I know that may not make sense, but I never... 43 years is a long time. I never accepted the fact that I was in, that I never accepted incarceration. So I always thought that I would be free, and I always thought like I was free. Even, you know, the few years before I got out, I started really preparing myself for society. And I started leaving penitentiary thoughts and ideals and all that behind. So I was prepared when I got out to succeed. Whatever the circumstances were that I encountered, I was prepared to deal with them. And so I live by the credo that, you know, if you want to stay out of prison, don't make going back to prison decisions.
Amazing, I like that. Don't make going back to prison decisions.
Right.
So, what are your plans for the future?
What are my plans for the future? 62 years old, I'm probably thinking about retirement. I called the Social Security And they said, I'm not entitled to Social Security because I only put $200 in 1973. So that's not an option. So I have to start thinking about saving and making investments that will help me in the later years.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you're living with a beautiful family. You have a wonderful fiance.
Yeah, yeah.
I have met her. She's supporting you. You're supporting her. You're a hardworking man, and you've turned your life around.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I got a beautiful family. Three boys, Mayan, who's 10, Micah, 12, Marion, 16, all extremely different, but very beautiful in their own way, you know. And it's a joy, you know, to be around them. You know, it is really a joy to be around them. And, Karen's daughter, you know, lives with us, and you know, she is extremely intelligent. She has a bachelor's degree. She graduated from Hampton University. She is very well-rounded and very intelligent. So she's my go-to person when I have one of those type of questions that require a lot of thought. I go to her.
Great. Well, listen, Charles, I am so glad that our paths kind of crossed.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, how it happened, why it happened, but our path just kind of crossed, and when we intersected, good things happened, right? And I want to encourage you just to keep doing what you're doing. Some days are going to be difficult. You've called me a number of times with those when those days have become difficult, and you've called me when things are going well. So let us stay in touch. The folk here at the Ypsilanti Church are supporting you and praying for you, and hopefully when it's safe, you'll get a chance to come and visit us again.
You know, Kevin Ross made a song called, it was about a relationship, but I think it fits this, God must be a genius or we wouldn't be here. And so, you know, that song, you know, I think really explains our situation. Like, you know, it was God. It was truly God that stepped in, that brought all of us, not just you and me, but the attorney that represented me, Jessica, Michael. I had a team, your daughter, you know, there was a team of people that God sent. He sent a team, you know, and God is amazing. And, you know, and I you know, I said this at a church that I spoke at, and I was like, you know, the reason why God, you know, made me do 43 years because I wasn't ready. And he really didn't bless me with my freedom until I really changed my thoughts and ideals and my mindset. And once I changed my mind, for no rhyme or no reason, just one day I was walking the yard and God said, you need to change your life. So it was a lot of things I was doing. I left them behind, left them alone, and just started walking the straight and narrow for no reason, just because. Never thought that freedom was at the end of that. I didn't do it for that reason. I just did it because God spoke to me. And so I've been trying to follow that since I've been out. You know, sometimes it's been tough, but yeah, I firmly believe if I stay on the right path and the right track, God will bless me with whatever I need.
Amazing.
That is my truth, that whatever you're going through, you know, trust in God, you know. You know, it was another song that used to keep me when I was in prison, Let Go and Let God. And so that became my mantra, if you will, let go and let God. You know, if it's too hard for you to handle, let it go. Let God, give it to God. Hey, God, this yours, can't handle this one. And he will. You know, you just have to have faith and believe it.
Your testimony is simply amazing, and I'm sure it will be a catalyst to jumpstart a lot of people's faith in God. So, Sir Charles, as I usually call you, stay strong, stay up, and we will be in touch. And God bless you, my brother.
God has blessed me tremendously. I'm a walking miracle. You know, the fact that I'm here, the fact that I'm working, the fact that I live in this awesome house, in this great, amazing neighborhood, in this great city, that I got a, you know, an awesome job. I work around good people. That, you know, God blesses me every day in ways that I couldn't even dream or imagine that I would ever have been blessed. So,
amazing, amazing, Charles. God bless and keep strong and thank you. And we will talk soon.
All right.
Thanks again.
All right.
So may we all stand. And as we ponder the message for today and the testimony, I hope we can decide what type of tree we want to be and who we want to rescue. Our Father, our God, we thank you for the time that we have spent here today. We ask you to continue to arrange circumstances and events around us. Help us to just try to get in your path and be a sycamore tree to someone in need. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.